Closing Dinners. This is Brock.
And this is John.
This is the fun one. What is... You got to have one fun one out of 50-some.
I guess,
some.
Yeah.
What is a closing dinner?
Well, it's just what it sounds like. It's a gathering to celebrate the completion of your deal. These used to sometimes be very big events. People would fly in from all over the place to participate in, you know, the celebratory dinner and drinking and sometimes even golf or some other event would accompany it. You get your deal cubes, and the investment bankers would sometimes hand off humorous awards to various folks on the deal. They were quite the event.
And how common are they today?
Well, sadly, they're going the way of the dodo. You used to have one after almost every deal of any size that an investment banker was involved in. I think that started to come to an end when the commercial banks gobbled up the investment banks and discovered that not only were the investment bankers making gobs more money than they were also having a lot more fun. So the one thing commercial banks are very good at is killing fun, as everybody knows.
So who determines for the times that there are closing dinners these days, who determines who gets an invite?
The bankers typically are the ones who host these things, and they make out the guest list. Back in the day, it could run pretty deep, especially for IPOs. I went to my first one the year after, within 6 months of coming out of law school. So you can tell if down to the first year associate on the deal, you've got a pretty broad list. The underwriters, the bankers would set aside a portion of their underwriter spread to cover the expenses of the deal, and that was usually more than enough to fund a blowout. They were typically stingier in terms of the guest list on M&A deals, even though the corporate finance guys made more money on those.
And what can you do if you're not on that invite list and you want to be?
Well, you know, you should expect to be stiffed, particularly these days, if there's one at all. Sometimes I've even seen deals where the bankers basically just take the principals of the company out to celebrate the deal. In many cases, just the principals of the company who had nothing to do with the deal, they'll celebrate that. There's not a heck of a lot you can do. You know, sometimes if you know the banker really well, you can pick up the phone and call them, and it's usually not on your own, but you'd have somebody else. I've made a couple of phone calls over the years for folks saying, hey, you know, so and so worked on this transaction. Can we squeeze this person in? It's usually in the context of asking for a deal cube for them, but you know, sometimes they will get invited to the closing dinner as well.
My recommendations, if you don't get invited, is just put on your headset, get that Eddie Murphy song going, Party All the Time. Yes, Eddie Murphy did sing. That was a hit back in 1985.
My girl wants to party all the time, right? Yes.
You remember that. Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
I can't get it out of my head now. So what's the coolest closing dinner you've ever been to?
Well, I've been to lots of nice restaurants in New York and Chicago, but the ones that stand out for some reason were the ones that I ended up going to down in Texas. I was doing a lot of restaurant deals in the mid-1990s, and worked on an underwriter's counsel for a series of IPOs. Several of these involved companies that were in Texas. One time the underwriters sprung, I mean, these, like I said, these are pretty lavish affairs back in the day. They sprung for dinner at a high-end restaurant in Dallas, a golf outing, and they put everybody up at the mansion at Turtle Creek, which at the time was, I think, rated the top hotel in the United States. It was pretty opulent. So we went to some spectacular restaurant and then proceeded to party on through the night with the underwriters and the company people, who were a lot of fun. And believe me, it was quite the hangover to fight through on the flight back home the next day. Another one was in Houston, where you and I just were earlier this year at Pappas' Steakhouse in Houston. And at this event, the company had a CEO who really fancied himself a wine connoisseur. And he said he'd pick out the wine, and he proceeded to order a Jeroboam, which I'd never seen before. I didn't even know what it was, but it's the biggest bottle of wine you can imagine. Jeroboam of some 1985 Napa Cabernet. And I don't know much about wine, but this was supposedly an epic year for Cabernet in Napa Valley, and the price was surely epic. This was probably 20 years ago, and the bottle was $3,000. And I thought the poor woman who was the syndicate manager for the bank was going to pass out, since she was the one picking up the tab. So anyway, that's about the most, you know, bonfire of the vanities piece of wretched excess that I witnessed at a closing dinner.
I mean, my most interesting was is I came out of the closing dinner, so we were in a back room at a restaurant. It was in D.C., and Arthur Levitt, who had just been the chair the prior year, and I had worked for a commissioner when Arthur Levitt was the chair, who was sitting there with his wife eating, and I went up to talk to him, and then he didn't remember who I was.
Not that fresh with greatness, Brock.
But, it was funny to me. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.